Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in Media Days 2019 here in Chicago. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Elijah Erbel back in Lincoln. We are going to be joined by Adrian Martinez in just a few seconds. James Franklin, head coach of Penn State, on deck. Bill Moose, Joel Klatt from Fox Sports. We are loaded up. And the latest from Scott Frost as Nebraska has stormed Chicago today. We're going to welcome in tremendous talent for Nebraska as we say hi to Adrian Martinez. Adrian, thanks for getting that mic worked out, my man. Good to see you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And tell me your travel day today. Let's start there. What was that like?
Well, it's been a journey. Someone earlier had told me that it was 6 hours. I woke up around 5 o'clock this morning, had a McDonald's breakfast, 5:30.
Well done.
And then I think we ended up getting here around 12.
Yeah.
So kind of a long day. But thankful to be a part of it with some really good people that made it feel like it was only 30 minutes.
Yeah. Adrian Martinez with us on Hail Varsity Radio. So it's kind of flown together, and the talk has been Nebraska. The talk has been the expectations, right? The West and beyond. How have you been able to handle these expectations coming into this season? What advice have you gotten, and how have you been able to navigate that?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize the facts of the situation, and that's that we won 4 games last year. There were games that we should have won, that we could have won, but we didn't. But towards the end of that year, we found some momentum, we found our confidence, and we figured out what it takes to be a good team. And I think we transferred that momentum, and we gained confidence in the weight room, we gained confidence on the field this offseason, and have continued to put in a ton of hard work. We're fueled by that record. And we just have a great staff, a great group of guys. And we're just motivated and ready to prove it and earn it this season. Although it doesn't mean really too much of anything to the team or to me about the preseason stuff and the hype, we're excited about this year and we're confident regardless of all that.
That's been a theme today, earn it.
Yeah.
It makes a ton of sense, but where did it come from? It's kind of a rallying cry, earn it.
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with some of our mottos, like, you know, one team, one heartbeat, one more, earn it. I mean, it's all about kind of last year and how a play here, a play there, our season could have been a lot different. This year around, we have to earn the respect. We have to earn those wins, you know, one more play, one more this. We're working as a team, one unit, one goal. I think it's a few of those messages, those key messages that we have. Those are our team mottos, and those are the things that we believe in. And I mean, when we get some of these questions, it's not even a second thought. It's genuine. It's just how this team operates.
Your quest is to be a better leader, a stronger leader, and that comes with time and maturity. Now that you aren't a good leader, but how is that expectation and really demand that Coach Frost has put on you? How have you been able to handle that?
Yeah, I think with the help of Coach Verduzco and Coach Frost, I've taken on that responsibility of being a quarterback and being the leader of this team. I'd like to say it came a little bit naturally over time, having played, having earned that respect a little bit, and continuing to work hard. I think that's the biggest thing. When you set the standard and you're working hard day in and day out, I think that's when it all follows. You set that standard of hard work, and then you hold your teammates accountable to it. That's what leadership is.
Tell me about your experience with the program, a second year doing that military training.
Yeah. It was special this year, and probably that's where you could see the biggest difference in our team from last year to this year, just how much the team has adopted our culture, and really just bought in and helped each other. It was a ton of fun, even though it was tough. You know, it was real hard, early morning, stuff like that. Our team grinded through it, and we did fantastic. I mean, night and day difference from last year.
Adrian Martinez with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Adrian, I'll let you run. Thank you so much, man. Good to see you again.
Appreciate it.
Adrian Martinez with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Good to get caught up with him. We'll welcome in head coach from Penn State, James Franklin, shaking hands with Adrian Martinez right now. And we say hi to Coach James Franklin. Coach Chris Schmidt, nice to see you. Thanks for your patience to hang out.
No problem.
Welcome into Hail Varsity. It's I think it's time that Nebraska and Penn State play each other again sometime soon.
Yeah, I think we got it coming up on the schedule. You know, me and Scott worked together at Kansas State.
I saw, years back.
So that'll be interesting.
What was that like under Coach Prince?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. I had a good experience. And I was with the Green Bay Packers, and me and Ron had worked together at James Madison, and you know, it was my first coordinator's job, so came back there, was there for 2 years before I went back to University of Maryland.
Coach, you've been such an elite recruiter, and how are you able to connect with, first of all, scout the talent and then stand out amongst a lot of heavy-hitting programs in the Big Ten? You routinely not only do well on the recruiting trail, but that translates to the field.
Yeah, you know, I think it's like you mentioned. It's being able to develop guys, and it's being able to identify guys as early as you possibly can, get them on campus and develop them, and put them in positions to be successful. But you know, for us, we just try to be as transparent, as honest as we possibly can. We don't really spend time negative recruiting. We spend our time selling Penn State. You know, just like Scott has at Nebraska, you got a great product to sell. You spend your time talking about you and not other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, like Scott, I'm back home. I grew up just outside of Philadelphia. You know, this is an opportunity to be a part of one of the most storied programs in college football and talk about all the wonderful things that we have to offer, and then, you know, obviously show them how passionate you are about them and their career, both as a student, both as a player, and off the field and beyond.
James Franklin's joining us here, Hail Varsity Radio. You are a native Pennsylvanian. You did phenomenal work at Vanderbilt. Was it even, and I've never spoken with you as long as Nebraska's been in the Big Ten, so there's, if I ever got the chance, I've thought in my mind, okay, I need to ask Coach this. Was there even a doubt in your mind to go back home and take the Penn State job?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was heartbroken in a lot of ways about leaving. I mean, when you pour your heart and soul into a program and you invest so much and had such strong bonds and relationships with those players and their parents at Vanderbilt, and I wasn't one of those guys that was going to leave in the middle of the night. You know, we had a team meeting, and I got up in front of the team and told them, and I was emotional as hell.
Yeah.
And I remember being up in my office and talking to my wife and talking to my agent, and I almost didn't walk in because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, you invest that much and you pour so much into it, and it's about the relationships. It's challenging. You know, I think a lot of times when you look at coaches leaving and taking other jobs, and I get it, you know, coaches are making a lot of money, and that's the focus. But for most of us in my generation or older, we didn't get into this business for the money.
Yeah.
You know, that's come as a byproduct of it. But for me, it's about the people, it's about the relationships, it's about the players, it's about the staff and all those types of things. So I really struggled with the decision for a long time and went back and forth on it. And, you know, at some point it felt like it was the right thing to do.
James Franklin's with us, your head coach of Penn State, Hail Varsity Radio. You were very adamant, very vocal about where your team's at, not comfortable being great. And you've won and played in a lot of big games, and you're one of the team's carrying the flag for the Big Ten out of the East, and overall, you've won a Big Ten championship. You've had incredible offenses. You've had Saquon. The list goes on with where Penn State was at was good, but you elevated it to a playoff contender. But you said you're not comfortable being good. You want to be great, and you're not there yet. How much progress have your kids made this offseason, and this group of kids specifically, because you're having to try and reload from a lot of guys that helped make it special?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, and I like how you said that, because I think a lot of people, when I said it, some misinterpreted. You know, first of all, we're at a point where 90% of the programs in the country would love to be.
Agreed.
You know, you look at what we've done over the last 3 years and won a Big Ten championship and, you know, have been ranked as high as
New
number
Year's
two.
New Year's Day six.
Correct,
I mean,
2 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's
been ranked as high as number two, has finished as high as number five in the country. So we've done some great things, but we still feel like there's a lot left to do. And that's kind of where we're at. We took over the program. We weren't in the top 25. We got to the top 25. We fought like hell to get to the top 15.
Yeah.
Fought like heck to get to the top 10. But I'd make the argument jumping from the top 10 into that top 4 is probably just as hard, if not harder, than going from outside the top 25 to where we are now. And that's everything. We just have to be willing to compete in every aspect of the program, and that's everything. That's nutrition, that is sports science, that is facilities, that is recruiting, that is development, that is scheme, that's everything. And I think that comment, I think, really kind of spurred some discussions in the offseason to say, okay, what do we need to do? We're not a win-at-all-cost program and never will be, and take a lot of pride in that. But what can we do under the Penn State umbrella that gives us the best chance to be successful and be able to compete with the programs we want to compete with week in and week out?
James Franklin's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A lot of talk here, the West versus the East versus the West, and since you joined, what have you noticed about the league as a whole?
Yeah, it's something that I feel pretty strongly about. We won a Big Ten championship, mm-hmm. and we're left out of the playoffs. Finished number five in the country, and that's a whole other discussion.
If you got time, I got time.
but I do feel strongly that the way the conference is set up right now, and Scott brought up some really good scheduling things when he first joined the league that I think were important for us to talk about and evaluate. But, are we doing what's best for the conference? When you got Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan all on one side of the conference, that may be good for the West, but I don't know if that's good for our entire conference from top to bottom. You got too many teams beating up on each other. So I think that's something that I think has been challenging for our conference. I think you could probably make similar arguments about the SEC West.
Well, I was going to ask you, because you grew up in the SEC. You were in the East, but even if you had a crossover, it was, it was A&M, it was LSU, it was Bama.
Here's the difference, though. In the SEC, you play 8 games.
Not 9.
Not 9.
And not some instances where you're 5 on the road.
Correct. So now you're in a situation, in my argument, when you're in the SEC, and like you mentioned, I've been a head coach into both, so yeah. I think I got pretty good perspective. The 8 games allows everybody in the conference to build your schedule the way you have to. If you're a program that's building and needs to schedule these out-of-conference games to get more wins and get to bowl games and create more practices and build your program, you can do that. If you're a program that thinks you're ready to compete for national championships, you can schedule that way as well. So the 8 games creates more flexibility, and you don't spend so much time beating your own conference up. So I think, between the way our conferences broke up and between the 8 or 9 games, I think there's some real arguments and real discussions that need to be had, because what I was told when I joined the conference is we're doing this for strength of schedule and it's the best thing. Well, that's not what the playoffs have shown. That's not been the thing that's been most valuable.
It's penalized you, where you guys survived Kinnick at night. Ohio State and Michigan haven't.
Correct.
And that, you lost to a West team. Well, people don't want to play Purdue. You know what I'm saying? The perception, I think, is getting better of the West, and it's probably at an all-time high, quite frankly. But as a whole, I think the league's moving in the right direction. And
I agree.
It's fun chatting with you.
You too. Thank
Appreciate
you so much.
Coach.
Tell Scott I said hi.
Will do. Take
All
care.
Brother.
There he is. James Franklin with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Not a bad way to start off Chicago. We got Adrian Martinez and Coach James Franklin. Good stuff. Dr. Petey's roaming around here. Derek Peterson. We are still the best head of hair between the two of us in Chicago. Franklin's money, man. That was fun. We will have plenty of that on SoundCloud and also on the Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Is Mo Berry around anywhere? All right, we're gonna go grab Mo. I see Lovey is back with that glorious beard. We may have the best hair. He's got the best beard. Still to come here in Chicago with Hail Varsity Radio. Mr. Moose, the Moose, Bill Moose, going to be with us. That is great. We will run down a lot of Michigan State today. Those guys are ready to, I think, try and shut everybody out. They're pretty good. P.J. Fleck is must-listen-to radio. That is coming up today from Chicago on Hail Varsity. Good stuff all day from Elijah Herbal as well. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Seat belts will prevent you from finding that windshield, and they prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. This applies whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. A quick timeout, and then it's Mo time. We'll find our way to Mo Berry and Nebraska football 2019. Lots to get to. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity live from the Windy City, Chicago. Day one of two from Media Days with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you. We're here in Chicago. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Dr. Petey is here. Derek Peterson hanging out. Chris Walsh with the social media. And Aaron Sorensen is about all things Nebraska. She is fantastic. Great stuff from Adrian Martinez and James Franklin to start us off. Okay, let's get into some of Scott Frost. We are waiting on Mo Berry. We'll see if we can get that to happen. Joel Klatt, P.J. Fleck, Bill Moose still to come here in Chicago. So you had a lot of things for Coach Frost. And if you didn't know, and I doubt you don't know, but it was the mother of all Griswold trips this morning for Nebraska football when it came to delays and having to fly in and then travel here. So it was a headache for Nebraska, and they've made it work for the media. So appreciate Nebraska there. So we talked a lot of things here when it came to expectations and recruiting with Adrian Martinez, and even got into it with James Franklin. Interested here in thoughts from Scott Frost. We'll start off with Coach Frost touching on just, you know, where things are at and the direction of the program with recruiting.
I don't know if we've identified any particular places and made them priorities. We're going to go where the players are. I don't care where they are. If they're in Jamaica or Kazakhstan, we're going. If they're in Michigan, so be it. We're going to try to come up and get the best players we can. Our coaches do a really good job. I think they're honest. They're straightforward. They do a good job with coaches and kids. And I feel real good about our recruiting strategy and our ability to produce in the recruiting area because of the people we put on the road.
So let me get this right. Jamaica, Kazakhstan, maybe Ohio. Hey, they'll Nebraska will outwork about anybody for that fit, right? And a perfect fit for the offense is Adrian Martinez. Scott Frost spent some time touching on Adrian and what he is about, what he means to this football program.
It was a pretty easy choice, honestly, to bring Adrian because, number one, he deserves it. He's as good a player as we have, and I think as good a player as, you know, a lot of people have around the country, so he deserves to be here. Just letting you guys in on a little secret, usually we would bring seniors. We're not going to have any seniors or very many seniors on offense this year. Coaches also kind of think we got to bring a guy that is going to speak well, represent us well, and say and do the right things, and he's the poster child for that.
So more from Frost coming up. We're working on Mo Berry here shortly. On Hail Varsity Radio, we'll get our Adrian Martinez interview posted up there on ESPN Lincoln. And, of course, Hail Varsity, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal live in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. More from Coach Frost at the podium. And what was funny, Frost made a pretty good movie quote about planes, trains, and automobiles. That's pretty good. As Coach Frost is now kind of working the room, headed over across the way, we'll see if we can't hear from him. So, more from Frost. We just spent time with Coach about Adrian. Now, the thing that's going to make the difference for Nebraska football is going to be the weight program. The thing that'll be the difference maker for Nebraska football against Wisconsin, against Iowa, against pick a team, is going to be that weight room. Coach touched on where Nebraska's at progression-wise with the Husker Power program.
Probably of all the areas we've improved, strength and conditioning across the board on our team has improved the most. It's fun to go down and watch in the weight room and see what our guys are doing. We were kind of starting from square one. To look now and see what our guys are doing in the weight room and really just looking at them when you walk by them and seeing them in the locker room and the hallways, they look completely different.
That is good. That is something that you'll hear from Bill Moose coming up in the show, just where Nebraska football's at. Let's hear from Scott Frost when he was sitting down with the Big Ten Network. And the Big Ten Network touched on just these expectations. You have the Cleveland Plain Dealer and their expectations. We were traveling to Chicago yesterday, so we had a best of and didn't really get into the fact that Nebraska is picked to win the West. And here's Coach's response to that, those pressures, those expectations for Nebraska. You have them as a fan. You want Nebraska not just to be relevant again, but to be a factor that matters in college football. Here's Coach Frost with BTN.
You guys are picked to win the West in the media poll. How does that sit with you?
I don't care. I don't care what people pick and project. We got work to do, and we've done a great job in the offseason. Our players have done a great job in the offseason. I think they've earned the right to be more confident than they've been and believe more than they've been. But I don't care what people think. I know we're better, and we're going to have to go out and earn the rest of it.
That's the theme, man. That is absolutely the theme. Go earn it more. And one last thought from Frost here on expectations today earlier as part of Media Day 2019.
But you guys get to make all the predictions and prognostications. I get to coach a team. So I don't know about any results. I don't think our kids feel pressure. They're just excited to play. We're better.
All right.
We're better than we were a year ago. And the rest of it, we're going to have to earn.
And that is Scott Frost about earning it. A guy who has earned a good dinner tonight, man, is Khalil Davis with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Khalil, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No problem.
So what's it been like for you? What's Media Day? We talked to Adrian a little bit. How did you deal with? Are you a patient guy when it comes to travel faux pas?
Oh, yeah. I'm a mellow guy, so whatever goes, I'm going with it. We had a few delays, but it was good storytelling when we were sitting there with Coach Frost.
Okay, well, if we can share or clean it up, mm-hmm. What are some of the stories that were shared?
He kind of just, you know, got to, I mean, he knows us, but he just asked us, like, what was our favorite music? You know, what do we like to listen to? You know, what kind of things that he likes that he does on the team, or he likes that. Or
he's kind of taking a poll, right?
Yeah.
So what'd you tell him? What'd you tell him with music?
A favorite right now is probably Khalid. He's like an R&B singer, but
you're explaining that because you know I need that explanation.
Yeah, he's a younger guy, so
he's Schmidt's old and out of touch, taking notes. No, it's good. So you tell me about the phone call you made to Darian Daniels, knowing that you're going to Media Day, you got picked to do it, and you've had a great off season. You made a lot of plays last year. This is an honor. That's kind of how Coach Frost looks at it. Mm-hmm. What advice did you get from Darian? Because he's a guy who went through it when he was at Oklahoma State.
Basically, he just explained that you'd probably be doing a lot of interviews and just be talking the whole day. And so, I mean, I had that coming in my head, so I was prepared for all of it. They gave us a sheet to look over of questions people might ask. So, mm-hmm. You know, but I've been doing this for 5 years, so.
Well, but this is a little different because usually when you or your brother are interviewed, you got your crew with you.
That's true. I mean, I am lonely, but I mean, so, yeah.
And folks will see on TV or here in radio or on social media, they'll the D-line will get chatted with, but it's a crew. So what? Break it down here. What started the group interview?
Well, first, when I first got here, you weren't allowed to do interviews until you were...
sophomore, right? Or yeah, redshirt freshman.
Redshirt freshman. And, you know, I think when Coach Frost got here, I don't think he had a rule for that. So I just, you know...
Have you been starved for interviews?
I mean, not really me, but...
Okay.
I mean, they asked me a few times, and, you know, I always like doing interviews. I feel like we should speak to the public.
Sure.
And so whenever a young guy was around, I would just grab him and come talk to the media real quick. And then it just happened that, you know, the other D linemen came and they all stayed. But it started with Freedom.
Yeah.
And me, Carlos, and Freedom, because, you know, Freedom, they would talk to Freedom every day. And then Freedom just wanted us to be around him. So then we started doing that with the other young guys.
Would you clown Freedom?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever get him to crack up?
Yes.
How so? Just a voice? A topic?
Probably just trying to mock whatever he was saying. Or...
Oh, so mocking him. Okay.
Yeah.
That works. Let's talk about Coach Tony. And that front three and your depth. And how has it been this offseason? And what can the D-line be in 2019?
The sky's the limit for our D-line. Anytime you have six, seven seniors in your D-line group, it's awesome because you have experience, and experience leads to success on and off the field because you have, you know, you can coach the guys up. Coach Tweedy doesn't really have to do all the coaching. We can tell the guys if they mess up or how they need to run this play or anything like that. And the talent that we have in this room goes deep. And, I mean, we probably could have 9, 10, 11 guys playing this year.
And you need that, don't you, in the Big Ten?
Oh, yeah, and you definitely need that because the run, you know, you can't have three guys in there the whole time on teams that like to run, Iowa, Wisconsin. So,
a couple more minutes, Khalil Davis with us, Hail Varsity Radio. And I tell you, you look at that depth that is necessary. When Coach Frost would mention getting pushed around, and football's physical, it's violent, it's awesome. But it's not awesome if you can't last four quarters.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you guys take that to heart to keep busting it with Coach Duvall?
We took it to heart because, you know, we're a D-line. We're supposed to be doing the pushing around, and sometimes that always wasn't the case. And Coach Frost, you know, he wasn't trying to be mean about it, but he was just taking it for what it was. And we needed to get bigger, and we did that. And Coach Duvall made that an emphasis this winter, and we took full capability of that. I think we have like probably 7 guys over 3.
Oh, wow.
And that will play this year.
Khalil Davis with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Last thought here. The relationship and bond you and your brother have that folks see, but what's it do for you? What's it do for him? When it comes to the competition level, just being there every day for as long as you've been together?
It definitely makes the competition level high, and sometimes at a level that, you know, you probably shouldn't be at, but we embrace that because we know if he's not going hard, I'm going to get on him, and I never have to worry about that with him, though. So it's just holding each other accountable. He's there. He knows if he's there, I'm never going to slack off, and he knows that he's never going to slack off if I'm there. And that's the same with Darian Daniels and them. And we just want to create that culture with all of us. And it's been special to be there with him and be able to do that with your brother.
Khalil, you're awesome, man. Appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Quick hour here, Big Ten Media Days, Hail Varsity Radio 2019. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, jam-packed. Khalil Davis was just on with us. Really enjoyed spending time with Adrian Martinez to kick things off, and James Franklin. We're working on Mo Berry. I think what we're going to do is, while we effort Mo, is spend some time here with P.J. Fleck. As Elijah, can we get that cranked up? Can we run a little Fleck right now? Is that good?
How much of the Fleck do you want?
Well, how much of the Fleck can we have, brother? How much time we got?
I mean, I got all the Fleck loaded up, if you want all the Fleck.
Let's do full Fleck right now. How's that sound? As P.J. Fleck jumped on with us here a little while ago on Hail Varsity Radio. Back at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. The Gophers, one of the teams in the West that folks don't want to play. And we say hi to the head man, P.J. Fleck. Coach, busy day for you today, and you are full of energy always, man. And I want to ask how this offseason's gone. First, let's start there for your kids as they try and make that next step and be better. They were good. But you guys want to get to a different level.
Yeah, we definitely want to get to a different level. You know, we talk about our program being a life program, not just a football program, and they've got to take the next right step in everything, you know, academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, and we believe in better people. We'll have better players. We'll have a better team, and I think that's where we're headed. We've heard everything from the outside, from top 25 to six in the West to whatever, right? I mean, that's kind of the feeling of the West this year. It's kind of up for grabs.
It's wild,
so,
right?
Yeah, it's wild. Wild, wild West. So we've prepared them since January for expectation, for pressure, for all the things that they're going to feel throughout the year, especially if we have a shot to do this thing. So, you know, last year we were the youngest team in America. Now we're the second youngest team in America. 80% of our team is still only freshmen and sophomores, which doesn't mean you can't win because now we're young plus experienced. Last year we were youthful and inexperienced. So we have a great combination, got a great senior leadership, Carter Coughlin, Ty Johnson, Thomas Barber, those types of guys leading the way for the young talent that we have. And it's really exciting time at Gopher football.
Talked to Carter earlier today, and just a standout student athlete, loves the game. And I think you, wherever you've been, you've targeted that kid who loves football. And it's different. You're maybe good at football, but do you love the game? How are you able to kind of profile, and how does it pop out to you as a coach through your eyes?
There's a series of things we do in the recruiting process that it's really evaluating, right? It's evaluating not only the talent on the field, but the talent of the person, right? Academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually. We have our own unique ways of doing that where we can somewhat maybe find out that this person's life as a whole is really important to them, because 2019 as a student athlete is not just football anymore, whether it's the school part, whether it's the social media, whether it's the pressure, the expectations, whether it is the media, whether it's their serving and giving, their time. It's a very difficult job to be a student athlete in so many other areas, and it's so scrutinized, criticized, looked at, evaluated every day, right? And, you know, the mental and emotional part of the game in all areas of their life need to be looked at. And so we look at different ways of how we can be able to profile the right person for our program. I'm not for everybody. I've said that I don't know how many times to different people, but I don't want to be for everybody. I want to be for the right fit. I want to be for the right people who are going to thrive in our program, that I don't have to sit there and self-motivate to get going in the day. And so we look for those types of players, and we've hit on way more than we've not hit on, that's for sure.
P.J. Fleck with us, few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio. How do you prepare the kids then for those expectations, for those pressure moments when it comes to consistency? Because
sure,
I can look at your 2018 and say, wow, some really impressive wins, some great showings, and then there were some moments that were, you know, part of the learning process. Consistency is the next step. How do you prepare them for that pressure moment when it comes to winning time?
Well, you got
to
find unique ways of doing that. You only have so much time with your player. So let's say in the weight room, right, in an instance, we'll blow the horn in the middle of a workout, and we'll immediately go, okay, Carter Coughlin versus Kamal Martin, pull-up contest, go. If you think Carter's going to win, stand on this side of the line. If you think Kamal's going to stand on this side of the line. So what it does is it, one, for the person they're going to do the pull-ups, and you look around and you sit there and say, okay, these are the people that actually think I'm going to win. And it's right there in front of you. There's no hiding. You have to be on one side or the other.
Declare.
Yep, and it's do it how many you can till you can't do it anymore. It's not like the race to 10. However many can you do? And I think that has helped our pro in so many different ways. We've done examples of that academically, socially, spiritually, everything we possibly can to create this instant pressure that they feel that maybe they didn't expect was coming. And now all of a sudden you've trained since January for that feeling that you can draw back from once the season starts.
Quarterback play, it can manage it for you. It can lose it for you. Can take care of it and win a big ball game. How do you groom and grow a quarterback?
Well, Kirk Ciarrocca is, I think, one of the best quarterback developers in the country. He did with Joe Flacco at Delaware. And, you know, at Western Michigan, we didn't have the biggest, strongest, or tallest guy. And the same guy that went 1-11 took us 13-0 into the Cotton Bowl as a group of five teams. So, you know, it's all about the leadership. It's all about the intangibles. It's all about the consistency of the play that we have. Last year, we had one kid on scholarship. One kid as a walk-on, decided to play the walk-on first. And then Tanner came in and threw about 60%. The completion percentage has to go way up. We know that. But as a for freshmen to come in here and play like they did, that resonates with us. They just have to. They don't have to run the nation. They just have to run our team, and they have to lead our team. And that's all we need to be able to worry about with those group of men. And that's what we're going to continue to focus on.
Lots been discussed about the East and the West, and the West has had some moments against the East. From when you've joined the Big Ten to where it's at now, as a whole, how much stronger have you seen the conference get?
Yeah, give it time. All I'll say is people talk about conference alignment, the East has dominated the West and all these just give it time. With the coaches that are now in the West, with all due respect, Scott Frost is a different animal when you're talking about recruiting, you're talking about rebuilding programs. Jeff Brohm, different animal when you're talking about recruiting, rebuilding programs. Hopefully we're a different animal. And now all of a sudden you get this movement in the West, and that's how you can be able to not just flip it, but again, make it way different than it used to be. And that's what everybody wants. I think they want a little bit of change, but give it a little time because I love how it's designed. I love where the teams are. I love how the rivalries fit. And we can be able to do it with the way we have it with the West and the East, but just give it a little time, and I think people are going to really like what they see.
There's no off week. I mean, there really isn't. And Iowa has had very good success at night at Kinnick against some of the East's biggest and baddest, Purdue last year. You went up and won in Wisconsin. No one wins in Camp Randall. You did it, and you guys did it very convincingly. Nebraska got hot towards the end of the year. Yep. It's going to be fun week in, week out. Just going to be a blast to cover and watch. How do you handle that week to week with your job as a head coach? Because you want the best, but you got to keep the emotions even keel.
Correct, you do. And that's what's, you know, we keep talking to our players about, hey, this West is going to be like an NFL schedule where every week it doesn't matter who you play, especially even your crossovers. The Big Ten's becoming like that. It doesn't matter who you play, whether you're playing a 13-0 Patriot team against a 2-11 Dolphin team. The Dolphin team can go ahead and upset the Patriots easily, right? So it's one of those things where it feels that way, and the parity is starting to even itself out, and it's a lot of fun when you start to look at the future of the West, for sure.
Coach Fleck, good to see you.
Yeah, I appreciate
your
time.
Thanks so much for the time.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you.
That is P.J. Fleck, Hail Varsity Radio. We're efforting Mo Berry. We'll see if we can't knock that out and talk a little Mo before we get to the 5 o'clock hour. If you missed Adrian Martinez and James Franklin, that is on the way. Joel Klatt coming up. And how about the Moose, Bill Moose, as Hail Varsity continues in Chicago.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
What final time this first hour from Chicago, Big Ten Media Days 2019, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Erbel, and many thanks to James Franklin and Adrian Martinez and Khalil Davis. Who else? P.J. Fleck, that was good. And Scott Frost making the rounds. We shall see if he makes his way over here. And maybe some Mo time. It's always good for Motown. We should just rename it. Mo time, Motown, as the shot clock is ticking. Reminder, it's been 1,000 degrees, so find your way to Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Their Madonna pool is to die for. It's comforting, it's refreshing, it's family-friendly, and it's also exercise-friendly. When you want to do some laps, you want to get some working out done in the air conditioning, still get the sweat on, the cardio going. I get it completely. And the indoor walking track is comfortable. The strength training machines are fantastic. And yes, an indoor pool too, if you want to stay out of the sunshine and the aqua track. Find your way, and still plenty of summer left to find your way to Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. And you can log on madonnaproactive.org or give them a ring and take the tour today, 402-420-0000. So that is where you can go get cooled off. So the list is complete now with Hail Varsity. The top 10 most intriguing Huskers. As you drum roll it is Wandale Robinson. Wandale, your most intriguing Husker. Great list by Derek Peterson. Do you agree? I'll be honest with you, a guy that I think's extremely intriguing that wasn't on the list, and it's super obvious. Lamar Jackson. Lamar's a guy that is playing at a high level. We got Mo Berry walking this way, which, if that's the case, we're going to go blow the clock up here, Elijah, and affiliates down the line. Just be forewarned. And excited to talk to the linebacker from Nebraska, full of passion. And we say hi to Mo Berry on Hail Varsity Radio. Mo, how's your day been, man? What's good?
It's been going well. A lot of talking.
You're good at talking, though, man. You like communicating.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm just ready to play football, man.
You're just sick of talking?
I'm ready.
Time for action?
I might not talk for an entire week after this. I'm just ready. I'm ready to play football. I'm ready to put in some work.
Mo, I remember interviewing you after your freshman year, and there was kind of a narrative out there, not at you, but about the team. And just, you guys want to play ball? Do you like it? And you looked me square in the eyes, and you're like, I love this game.
Mm-hmm.
And your passion is shown throughout. You're a leader. You're a vocal leader. You're an emotional leader on this team. How have you been able to bring people along with you this offseason? And it's time, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's senior year.
Yeah. Well, first, you have players that they do love the game. And everyone's passion is different, passion level. I think first by bringing in a coach like Coach Frost that is a player's coach and has made players buy in and believe in his plan is big, is huge. A lot of players transformed themselves just because of Coach Frost alone and not even people doing or saying anything to them but him. And then it comes to, okay, what can I do to help them? Not being selfish, making sure not that I'm not only improving myself, I'm improving my teammates. Because the thing is, I do love my teammates, and love is wanting to see someone succeed and be the best version of themselves day in and day out. And that's how I show my love for my teammates, wherever I could tell them. And when they do wrong, I'm going to tell them they did wrong. And the same thing with my teammates to me. DCAP and DCAP would tell me if I do something wrong, and I would take it and I would fix it. That level of accountability that has manifested itself this year is what's going to win us games.
You're heartbroken, it looks like, about 4-8, and you've had two of them. And how have you processed through that? Or yeah. Have you?
It's just this 4-8 season compared to the last 4-8 season, two different seasons, definitely.
Still the number you don't like.
Yeah, this program, 4-8, is not acceptable in Nebraska. It never will be. And we understand that we did underperform. And in no way are we making any excuse that will that will make 4-8 feel any better. It should hurt as it did last year and still does now. But we have to turn the page and we have to make 4-8 into some way different. We have to make sure they know a version of Nebraska that they're not going to forget for a long time. So that's the biggest thing. It's to make it real. It's to turn this program and play every opponent, give them the respect like they're the best team in college football, and play them to dominate them, not only to win.
Mo Berry, a couple more minutes with us. Kind enough to be here on Media Days here down in Chicago. the downtown Hilton. So, Mo, you mentioned that that maturity that needs to happen where you respect every opponent. Defensively, what type of jump can the defense make? What are you kind of putting on yourself? What are you putting on the group when it comes to stopping the run and getting after the quarterback? Because that's bread and butter in the Big Ten. That's how you find your way to Indy.
Well, first you have to stop the run. This is pivotal that you do stop the run. So when you talk about how big we have gotten bigger, faster, and stronger. You know, we got a true nose guard now in Darian.
You got Daniel. A few of them.
Yeah, two of them, three of them.
Oh, you got to be happy about that, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We have ends that are over 300 pounds. And we have just abundance of linemen, D linemen, ready to rotate and rotate in. I've gotten bigger. I've went from 222 to 225 to 235, 237. So everyone has gotten bigger. The thing that we have to do is penetrate those sweeps, get in the backfield, and wreak havoc. That's what we got to do. And if we do that, we will stop any run game. It's just believing in what you're doing. And actually executing it and having the desire to make big-time plays in that run game.
Mo, last thought here, bud. You're the leader vocally. That's been accepted by your teammates because of your performance on the field. You're more comfortable getting guys on board. How did year two of the program, the off-season training, and I asked Adrian this, how did you use it and how's it enhancing what you become as a player?
The program.
With the military training, yes, sir.
Yeah, year two, honestly, I took every little thing in. I think year one was more of a scary thing. Like, oh, snap.
Scared straight?
Yeah, like, oh, we about to do all this stuff. Year two, I was taking every lesson Cappy gave us and those guys over there and really just trying, okay, what does a leader do? Okay, leader, he take care of his teammates and finishes and accomplishes the mission. And that's what I have to do. I have to help. I have to take care of my teammates, whatever they need in me, whatever I have to give to them to make them a better version or of themselves is what I'm willing to do. And I've expressed that, and they understand that in me. So me being selfless, and if I can't, go home and take a nap because I'm meeting with so-and-so and watching film, or I'm trying to help so-and-so with this. That's what's needed of me, and I have to give everything I have to accomplish this mission because I can't ask them to do that if I'm not willing to do that for them.
Mo Berry, Mo, best to see you, man. Thanks
yes,
so much for a few minutes and a big time 2019. We'll take a three-minute break and sync up for hour two on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We're here in Chicago, Big Ten Media Days, so we are going to get Scott Frost here live with us on Hail Varsity Radio in just a moment. That is a cool thing. I will not attempt to arm wrestle him ever, but specifically not today after travel delays and issues, and that wouldn't be wise. So we'll have Coach Frost here in a moment with Hail Varsity. Great stuff from James Franklin and Adrian Martinez as we welcome in the head coach of Nebraska, Scott Frost, with us. Scott, good to see you. Thanks for taking and making time. And could you have written a better script today travel-wise?
Probably. If I'd have really put my mind to it, I could have figured out a way to make it more efficient.
Well, you're here, you're in Chicago, and a lot's been talked about with expectations in your team, but it seems to me like how you played and grew under and grew up with Nebraska football has translated your time under Coach Osborne as the guys continue to move forward in year two. It's taken a hold. I mean, the culture that's always talked about. Spend a little bit of time here on that impact you had on your team with culture and how guys like Adrian, guys like Mo, they're taking your words to heart.
Yeah, it took a while. I mean, it's raising kids to some degree, and I'm not saying these guys are kids. They're not. They're big, strong men. But you know, the first step is to just teach them what you expect out of them. And it took us a long time just to communicate with them all the little things that we expected, what we knew was required of them to have them be successful and be good. Then you got to convince them of it. Then you got to get them to do it. Then you got to get them to do it more consistently. And you know, we had majority buy-in, but there was enough dissenters for a while last year that it was costing us a lot of things, including games. And we're to a point now where you can't count the number of guys that aren't 100% on board on one hand, and that's really unusual with a 155-man team.
You're able to still be in charge, but police. I mean, guys are holding peers accountable.
Yeah, you know, any team can be good if coaches are holding everybody accountable, but you know, it can be even better if it's happening in the locker room. We got an unusual situation that the coaching staff, by and large, has been together for going on 4 years now. Every coach knows what's expected. They're able to communicate with the players. The players are starting to make sure that the guys around them are doing the right things, and hopefully that leads to wins.
Is this team at a point right now where they're having fun?
Yeah, I think so. They enjoy being together. You know, that's one of the big changes is I would say early on, last season, we didn't have that many guys that, when they had free time, just came up and hung out in the football building. And when teams love, when players love the game, when they love being around each other, in your free time, that's where you want to be. And more I'm seeing guys hanging out in the building, hanging out together, and being good teammates to one another.
You know, you talk with some folks around college football, and they smile about what Nebraska used to be and where they think it's going to go, and your offense, your system, and then you pair it with Adrian. And what is next for him and your offense, this offense in year two?
Just all I'm worried about is improvement. We talk to players all the time about being a better version of themselves today than they were yesterday. If you're working hard, that's inevitably going to happen. Our guys are doing that. He's pretty close to the ideal quarterback for our system. So we're all excited. But again, I don't care what people are picking or saying or anything else. We got a lot of tough games ahead of us, and we got to go earn it.
Does that wear you out with the expectations? Because you've been asked 500 times today about expectations.
Yeah, it does. You know, honestly, I come to these things and I answer the same questions the same way for the entire day. But dealing with expectations is easy. Just put your head down. Don't pay any attention to it. And we'll make sure the team's thinking that way, too.
Run defense, that's a key to winning the Big Ten or any football game. Do you feel better about the defense and where they can be in 19?
I do. You know, I think we've added some talent. Guys have a better understanding of scheme. And being bigger, faster, and stronger is going to be key. You know, I've said this publicly, but there was a few games we just got pushed around last year. I don't think physically we were ready to hold up. Iowa ran 20-some outside zones against us, and were just crushing us on the edge, and we couldn't get the ball back to the offense. And that's because, you know, they were just more physical than us last year. But that was with 1 year of strength and conditioning with Zach, and I know we've made up a lot more ground this year. I was in the weight room the other day and watched 7 or 8 of our defensive linemen squat over 800 pounds twice.
Man.
And those guys are going to be harder to move this year, and that alone should make us better.
Scott Frost, Nebraska's head coach, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt and, of course, Elijah Herbal back at our stations in Lincoln and across the Nebraska network. Coach, I'll let you get out of here. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
You bet, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yep.
We'll keep it here, and let's cue up our conversation with Adrian right here with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Radio. So it's kind of flown together, and the talk has been Nebraska. The talk has been, the expectations, right? The West and beyond. How have you been able to handle these expectations coming into this season? What advice have you gotten, and how have you been able to navigate that?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize the facts of the situation, and that's that we won four games last year. There were games that we should have won, that we could have won, but we didn't. But towards the end of that year, we found some momentum, we found our confidence, and we figured out what it takes to be a good team. And I think we transferred that momentum, and we gained confidence in the weight room, we gained confidence on the field this offseason, and have continued to put in a ton of hard work. We're fueled by that record, and we just have a great staff, a great group of guys, and we're just motivated and ready to prove it and earn it this season. Although it doesn't mean really too much of anything to the team or to me about the preseason stuff and the hype, we're excited about this year, and we're confident regardless of all that.
That's been a theme today, earn it.
Yeah.
And it makes a ton of sense, but where did it come from? It's kind of a rallying cry, earn it.
Yeah, and it kind of goes along with some of our mottos, like, you know, one team, one heartbeat, one more, earn it. I mean, it's all about kind of last year and how a play here, a play there, our season could have been a lot different. This year around, we have to earn the respect. We have to earn those wins. You know, one more play, one more this. We're working as a team, one unit, one goal. I think it's a few of those messages, those key messages that we have. Those are our team mottos, and those are the things that we believe in. And I mean, when we get some of these questions, it's not even a second thought. It's genuine. It's just how this team operates.
Your quest is to be a better leader, a stronger leader, and that comes with time and maturity. Now that you aren't a good leader, but how is that expectation and really demand that Coach Frost has put on you? How have you been able to handle that?
Yeah, I think with the help of Coach Verduzco and Coach Frost, I've taken on that responsibility of being a quarterback and being a leader of this team. I'd like to say it came a little bit naturally over time, having played, having earned that respect a little bit, and continuing to work hard. I think that's the biggest thing. When you set the standard and you're working hard day in and day out, I think that's when it all follows. You set that standard of hard work, and then you hold your teammates accountable to it. That's what leadership is.
Tell me about your experience with the program, a second year doing that military training.
Yeah. It was special this year, and probably that's where you could see the biggest difference in our team from last year to this year, just how much the team has adopted our culture and really just bought in and helped each other. It was a ton of fun, even though it was tough. You know, it was real hard, early morning, stuff like that. Our team grinded through it, and we did fantastic. I mean, night and day difference from last year.
Adrian Martinez with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Adrian, I'll let you run. Thank you so much, man. Good to see you again.
Appreciate it.
Adrian Martinez with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Good to get caught up with him. We'll welcome in head coach from Penn State, James Franklin. And we'll hear more from James Franklin as we recycle that for you. But awesome stuff from Scott Frost is... Scott's been kind enough, in a, let's be frank, let's call it what it is, a day from hell, travel-wise. If you have kids, you know what's up with that. where there's screaming in the back. And just to be frank, Junior doesn't scream a lot, but my brother and I sure as hell gave Dad a headache driving down to watch George Brett. And his arm always reached and found us if he needed to swipe at us. But the day from hell, travel-wise, Scott Frost was good enough to spend time around the room here. And we've dubbed this the dungeon in the basement of Richard Kimball's McCormick place. Not even McCormick, but the Hilton Chicago here. As we've got, I'd say, mid-80s carpet, a couple of doors that may lock, and no windows. What did we say earlier today? Just a chair and a spotlight? So, yes, James Franklin was great. Check that interview out.
Elijah Herbal's been all over it, SoundCloud, and obviously Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln Twitter handles is where you can get some of the greatest hits, and the ESPN Lincoln On Demand is where you go for the interviews. Mo Berry was phenomenal. And again, affiliates, thanks for your understanding on running over with Mo Berry, but he was good. As Doug Duda right now is got an angry look. Put your headset on. That's fine, Duda. Duda, you're kind enough to take our show and Carney Hastings, Grand Island brother, and we got Mo
well,
with...
The court order is almost over.
What? Okay, of restrainment.
The court order of having to carry your show is
there's
awesome.
No court order. I bribe you and you take it. It's fine.
Yeah, it was great to get Coach Frost.
How good was that? Yeah. You had him. You guys hear that tomorrow?
Yeah, Larry kind of talked to Keith. We owe him a big thanks. Just, mm-hmm. you know. And, of course, if Coach Frost didn't want to do it, he wouldn't have to do it, but he did.
Yeah.
And it's nice to ask him something besides the same old questions that are out there. But it's been a better than average day here in the dungeon.
The dungeon's been all right.
I'm going to the laundry room, see what's going on.
He felt sorry for us. But Joel Klatt is coming up next segment here on Hail Varsity. The Moose, Bill Moose, going to be with us at 5:40, and we'll wrap up day one tomorrow, man. And you got Iowa. Coming in, Northwestern is coming in.
Defending West champs.
And Purdue. And what? It's been a good year. I mean, I can't wait for 19. It's going to be a great week-in, week-out setup, I think.
I remember, Chris, and you do too, when you came in and you went, okay, here
these
comes.
These games suck.
Here
these
comes,
games are good.
Well, even Media Day. Here comes Illinois. Here comes Rutgers. Here comes... Okay, who else would you say that about this year? Those are the two teams that are expected to be at the bottom of the division. There was about six teams that had no chance. That's not the case anymore.
And Rutgers isn't far removed from an 8-win bowl season. There's always talent east. And you look at Illinois. They crushed Minnesota last year.
And they got as many guys coming back as anybody in the West.
They do. And Lovie knows how to recruit. He recruits NFL dudes. I promise you. That they just got to get there. Joel Klatt coming up. Penn State. I love you. And you got to chat with Coach Franklin too. He is. I love sitting there and talking about the East and the West and the SEC and the Big Ten and getting his perspective on that. So good day here in Chicago. Doug Duda popping over here on Hail Varsity Radio. So if I were to tell you Wandale Robinson tops Hail Varsity's list of as most intriguing Husker. What would you say to that?
That's an okay pick. It's not mine.
I'm still on Lamar.
Big boy Daniels.
Okay. Darian?
Big boy Darian Daniels.
He was number two.
That's where I'd be looking. I mean, because everybody loves this guy. And I'm talking about everybody that's wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
Everybody that's his teammate. This isn't just media fodder. This is good stuff.
It is. He is a guy that was at Media Days a year ago. Good stuff, and with Oklahoma State, and he's that vocal leader, but he's also the physical guy that can get everyone going, and it's nice to in the Big Ten to be 7 to 8 deep on the line of scrimmage, where you can and will stop the run by sending fresh bodies that direction. So Ohio State stopped by KJ Hill. We'll get that posted as well, and plenty more to come on Hail Varsity. So. Duda, what's your plan tonight, man, before we take a break?
You love talking about food. I need to go find me a solid steak. Went a little bit on the fish side last night after a long walk. Just kind of, it was hot, humid, didn't feel like the big steak. There's some German down the road, too.
Get to Gibson's.
Oh, you kidding me?
Get to Gibson's.
Give me your credit card.
I can give you the company. I'm kidding. I will be stun gunned and drug out of here in 3 seconds. Joel Klatt's coming up. Duda, good to see you, brother.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Hail Varsity continues. Joel Klatt on the way next on Media Day 2019.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, Media Days 2019, Hail Varsity Radio, college football color analyst, and tell you what, it's good to see Joel Klatt back at the table of Hail Varsity. Joel, it's been busy for you, man. Thanks for making time. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really am. It's a fun time of year.
Okay, before we get into football and that time of year, let's get into golf. And your coach, Gary Barnett, plays a lot. I always ask him how he's shooting. Can you get into urban legend at all about how things go when Joel Klatt squares off against Gary Barnett?
Oh, he doesn't want me to talk about that. Not anymore. Now, when I first started playing, he was the one that kind of got me into the sport, honestly.
Okay.
He told me when I was playing, he was like, you know, do you play? And I was like, nah, you know, kind of. And he was like, well, you should. You know, you need to. It's going to serve you really well the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I've turned into a total junkie. I absolutely love the sport. I love to play. I love to practice. I love to watch, consume golf. I'm trying to be patient right now. I want to update my phone, but I'm not going to right now. I want to give you guys my undivided attention.
Well.
And but yeah, anytime I get a chance to play a round of golf with Gary, I absolutely jump at the chance. And in the last couple of years, the tables certainly have turned. Let's just say that.
That's pretty good. Joel Klatt with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So we'll kind of zoom out on the Big Ten here in Nebraska in a moment, but I want to get to Nebraska, Colorado. Mm-hmm. That has taken on a life of its own.
Yeah. As it should, you know, because I love that game.
I grew up with it, too.
Sure.
And didn't grow up with it like you did playing against Nebraska. But what's your immediate thought on that matchup here? Who's it bigger for?
Yeah, it's probably bigger for Colorado and probably always has been. I think that late, you know, when Bill McCartney said they're going to be our rival and Tom Osborne kind of scoffed at it, you know, but Bill did that not because of any other reason than to be the big guy on the block. You've got to beat the big guy on the block. So he pointed to the best program in the country, you know, and he said, that's going to be our rival. And it turned into something really special, I think, at least from my standpoint. That game was so special in my youth. Obviously, 89 and 90, when Colorado was kind of able to overcome and win those games, win a national championship, wouldn't have had to split it unless Tom Osborne changed his vote on the last coaches poll, so it would have been a unanimous. I mean, all these things as a Colorado guy, like, they're deep-rooted. You know, Nebraska played Georgia Tech in the bowl game that year. Georgia Tech beat them, and then Tom switched his vote on the coaches' poll, which is why Colorado had to share the national championship. Not that we're bitter about it at all.
But to
tell you, like, that's what makes it great, you know? So you ask, who's it bigger for? Probably still Colorado, because Nebraska is still a measuring stick, you know? And so when you play those games, when you feel like you're trying to measure up, then it's bigger for that program.
A lot of Nebraska fans are going to head west for that one. You look at Nebraska and just where they're at for 2019. Some say, yes, it's the West.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas came out with one of the sports books says 6-1 shot to get to the playoff. Right. And then even Adrian, as a sophomore, 10-1 Heisman odds. I know you respect the heck out of Nebraska.
Yeah, I do.
Like what Scott's doing.
I do.
Where is year two going to fall in your opinion?
Okay, so straight up, they're going to be my favorite in the West. This is, okay, when I go about looking at predictions and things that I'm going to say in the preseason, every division in college football is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Some you've got to have great quarterback play. Some it matters where you get your rival, home or away. You know, some you've got to have a great defense to get through that division. When I look at the Big Ten West, the first thing I look at is the inequities in schedules, because there is no division in college football where the inequities in schedules are greater than in the Big Ten West because of the structure of the conference and where the Big Ten East is, just in the pantheon of the sport, with Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan all being top 20-esque programs. So that's where you get a team like Iowa, who probably wasn't good enough to go to the playoff but had a shot when they played Michigan State
because
they had a great schedule. Wisconsin's been a beneficiary of a schedule like that. Northwestern has been beneficiary at times kind of a schedule like that. And now it's Nebraska's turn, right? They miss Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State. They do get Ohio State, but it's at home. Then you look at their, I don't want to say rivals, but the other contenders in the West Division, they get Northwestern at home, Wisconsin at home, Iowa at home. So now all of a sudden you're like, They got their coach back. They got a legit Big Ten Player of the Year candidate at quarterback, most important position on the field. They got better every single week last year. They lost big early, in particular to Michigan. Then they lost small late and finally won. I'm a believer, you know, with that schedule and everything that Wisconsin has on their schedule with Northwestern and what happens at their schedule with everything that Iowa lost. I think it's Nebraska's year to win the Big Ten West. Are they a playoff team? No, I don't believe that they're a playoff team, but I didn't think Iowa was a playoff team when they were leading Michigan State in the fourth quarter to go undefeated to go to the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see where it all falls.
With the East, with Michigan and Ohio State, does Harbaugh break through? Does Ohio State skip a beat without Urban? You'd think they would because of how good he is.
I mean, they've got to, right? I mean, he's Urban Meyer.
And that's not a shot at Day.
No, not at all.
It's just life.
It just is what it is.
A great,
you know, it is what it is. Now, I would have said Oklahoma was going to skip a beat without Bob Stoops. I would have said Oklahoma was going to skip a beat without Bob Stoops and their Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So maybe this blueprint is the way to do it. I don't know. I mean, it didn't. Nebraska knows acutely well that it doesn't always work when you just hand it off to the next guy in line, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see with Ohio State. They've also got a new defense coordinator. They got a brand new quarterback. Meanwhile, Michigan is sitting there. The coach is back. He's had a lot of success at the college level. Shea Patterson is back and has an offense that's probably more suited to him. He's probably the best player in the conference, at least in the preseason, at that position. They've got three wide receivers that are really good. Good running backs. The best offensive line in the conference. They've got their coordinator, Don Brown, who you would assume, even with some of their losses, is going to still have a great defense. 2 years ago when they lost almost everybody, they still had a great defense. All that being said, I mean, this is Michigan's year. If they don't, let's just say this, if they don't do it, I would probably assume to see changes.
Wow. I think that's warranted if the wheels completely fall off. I look at Michigan similar to Nebraska, where you got a homecoming and a guy who gets the program, knows how to win, knows the blueprints, all of that stuff. I think you stick with the guy until he does get it done.
I would agree with you. I'm just telling you, having been around that game right now, the sentiment around the fan base during that week is
you're sick of getting beat.
Yeah, it's toxic. And as you know, stuff like that can happen quickly.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
The style of the game. Last year, the style of the game, yep. There were people ready to jump off that ship.
They got crushed.
Last year, yeah. I mean, it was dirty, and they were favored.
Last thought, Joel Klatt with us, Fox Sports, Hail Varsity Radio. What do you see in Adrian Martinez? Just a young pup, just a sophomore, but you know quarterbacks.
He is uniquely skilled to run that scheme, you know, and that's why Scott knew he was so important. That's why he started him as a true freshman. Such a really special talent, really special talent. Scott always looks for a guy that's probably a little bit more of a point guard than he is a true pocket quarterback, and Adrian seems to be that. You know, he can win with his feet. He can win with his mind. He can get the ball out quickly with accuracy. So that's from a skill set standpoint. And then from just a maturity standpoint, I think it speaks volumes that he's here as a sophomore. Brings him here to media days. I think they're a great fit. That marriage between a coach and quarterback has to work. And the more closely aligned that relationship is, the better chance the team has to really understand who they are and how they're going to win. And so all of those things I see in Adrian and Scott. And I expect big things from Adrian Martinez as long as he stays healthy. When a guy is dynamic and can move around and exposes himself a little bit, that's always the fear. Mm-hmm. And I think without Adrian Martinez, Nebraska would have a hard time.
Joel, last thought, I mm-hmm. promise you. How is that relationship and experience for you between mm-hmm. coach and quarterback? How it kind of watered and grew you?
Oh, that's a great question. I know. Well, let me just put it to you this way, rather than try to go through all the minutia. If you were to ask me who are the two or three most influential men in my life, mm-hmm. I would start with my dad.
Sure.
And number two and 2B would be Gary Barnett and Sean Watson, my offensive coordinator at Colorado and my head coach at Colorado. I learned so much from them, how to be a man. What we dealt with at Colorado in the early 2000s with all the media attention and the scrutiny and the firestorm that went on, what I learned from Gary behind the scenes about integrity and character and how to handle yourself and why it was so important to do the right things all the time so that when situations like that occurred, you were able to withstand it. Because remember, in a firestorm like that, Gary Barnett is one of the few ever that retained his job because there was nothing there, right? And that was part of the character and integrity that, that he lived his life with. That's why to this day, I keep in touch with him. I ask him things. And as a 37-year-old man with three young boys, he's one of the guys that I will call first if I need some help, you know, in any sense. And so I hope... I know that that was a lot more on the human side, well, but that's that relationship was built as a quarterback coach.
That is. I mean, it's beyond football.
Right.
The human side.
Right.
And that is something you've carried with you beyond football.
No doubt.
So, Joel, it's good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Have
Thanks
a great
so
day.
Much. You too. Appreciate it. Joel Klatt with us on Hail Varsity. That was Mr. Klatt. He was fantastic as always. And good stuff today. Elijah Herbal's been killing it back at our studios with SoundCloud and, of course, the ESPN Lincoln posts on the website. The on-demand is where you go. Scott Frost to get us kicked off the 5 o'clock hour. You heard from Adrian Martinez. You heard from James Franklin and PJ Fleck. So the podcast is going to be one you're going to want to hear. And it'll get all posted by Elijah shortly after 6 on HailVarsity.com or iTunes. We're still here tomorrow. Day 2 is going to rock and roll with Iowa and company, Northwestern, Purdue, Michigan. So that'll be good. It's a Moose meeting up next. Bill Moose, Nebraska's athletic director, with us on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, athletic director for Nebraska, Bill Moose, kind enough to stop by our booth. Mr. Moose, how's the summer? We'll get to football in a second. What have you been doing?
Well, the summer's been good. Actually been out at our cattle ranch for a couple of weeks and a little bit different type of work there, but very healthy, going well, and eager to get back to Lincoln and get into this next academic school year.
How many fish did you catch?
Tons. My wife, Kendra, and I floated the Blackfoot River in Montana a couple days, and they were real good days. We got a lot of action, so that was a lot of fun. That's an old stomping ground of ours too. So.
How does it feel day one of media days? And I know travel today's been hectic for Nebraska, but you get here, Coach Frost, not far removed from the podium. How does it feel for Nebraska to kind of be a focal point again in the Big Ten and in college football?
Well, it feels good, and that's part of the plan, to get ourselves back to what we feel is our rightful place with the elite in college football, and certainly have the head coach and the staff and the rosters coming together nicely. We're going to get there. It's just a matter of when, and I'm really excited about this season. We've got a super schedule, I think. I think it lays out real nice for us, and of course our fan support is needs to be mentioned every time because it's second to none. And we got some exciting players. It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Bill Moose with us. A few minutes here, Hail Varsity Radio live in Chicago. You mentioned the players, and you've got a good one. And Adrian Martinez at quarterback, it's not often, pretty rare actually, that you have a sophomore brought to media days. Coach Frost very confident and comfortable in doing that. You've been on teams before, you've managed programs before, you've seen difference makers as head coaches, you've seen difference makers as leaders at that quarterback spot or pick a spot. What do you think Adrian can do even as a sophomore to help further the program, not just on the field but off?
Well, he's a very, very talented football player, and way ahead of his years in regards to his leadership qualities. He presents himself well. His teammates look up to him. He understands the game, and he understands our offense. He's so fun to watch, and you know, once he got into a groove, you could see it each game. Each game, of course, he got hurt in the Colorado game and missed some time there. But when he was clicking, and he was clicking pretty good as we went into the second half of last year, the scoreboard read right, He's the nucleus of that offense and really the entire football team, and the guys look to him for that.
What have you noticed or heard or even witnessed this offseason from a development standpoint? Guys need to get bigger, stronger, faster to compete in this league. That's an emphasis by Coach Duvall and for sure Coach Frost. But what's around the water cooler, so to speak, with the gains, the jumps made?
Well, you can just look at our players, and they look better. They're well fueled. They've developed in the weight room. Their agility, everything, and there's a feeling of confidence, and that really hasn't been around our locker room for a while. And the confidence of hey, we can line up. We're as well trained, if not better, than anyone. And We have a chance every time we take the field to get a victory, and that hasn't been there for a while.
Is there a moment last year you think that, best term I can come up with, sold it to the guys?
Well, we needed to get that first win.
Yeah,
and
you did,
and we did, and then we got a few more, and I really think, you know, we learned about ourselves and blew a chance to get a win at Northwestern in overtime. We had Ohio State on the ropes at their place. And all these are confidence builders. And what kind of mistakes did we make that could have won those games? And what do we need to work on during the offseason? And, you know, you look at the last six or seven games last year, and the majority of those losses were decided in the last play of the game. So
one score games.
Yeah. Yeah. So those come around. That comes around with confidence, leadership, starting to get some of these young guys a lot of reps. We're still going to be young this year, but we do have good experience and we have exceptional talent.
Leadership is so key, and it's hard to do, but it can happen in college football to have a young team be a very good football team. Could Nebraska be one of those instances this year? And good is all, you know, define good, but what Nebraska fans are used to. I mean, how high is the ceiling on this thing?
Yeah, it could be. We played a lot of young players last year, so they may still be young, but they've got experience. And we've got some nice new ones that are going to make a difference. Depth, it's better than it was a year ago, and it'll continue to get better as our walk-on program evolves and the number of players we have on the roster and all that. That's going to take a year or two more, you know, to really get the benefits of our walk-on program. But it's all fallen into place by design. There's no quick fixes. Mm-hmm. And when it is fixed, it's going to be sustainable. And I say that about Nebraska athletics across the board. I've hired 8 head coaches in 21 months, and they're all exceptional and are super fits and proven winners, so that we can not only get back into that practice of winning, doing it correctly, doing it right, making sure that our student athletes have a fabulous experience and meet their potential. And that's a source of pride for the university and for all Nebraskans across the state.
A couple more minutes. Bill Moose, Nebraska Athletic Director with us, Hail Varsity Radio, kind enough to spend some time with us. And Black Friday is important to you.
Yes.
And you got it back, and Iowa looms. Take me through your emotions that game, where Nebraska's down, comes back, ties it, and it just doesn't go Nebraska's way at the buzzer. Give me a look-see into Bill Moose's booth while that's going on.
Yeah. Well, Kendra and I had to leave that game in the fourth quarter to catch a flight to go out to Berkeley to watch our son's game right. The next day. And so we were watching it on television at the airport, and it was fabulous. And I liked the grit that our players had, kind of, as we talked about a little earlier, that piece of confidence and mm-hmm. and such. And then, you know, on the road, a tough place to play, a very good team, very well coached, and we let it get away. And that happened a couple of times last year, but we were in the game. We had a chance to win it, and those will start coming our way here down the road, and hopefully this season will be an example of it.
Last thought, you have a lot of opportunities each Saturday with Nebraska football. One's going to be on the road out in Boulder with that Red Army. heading west. That game's big. They're all big, but that one could be kind of a statement opportunity, and then perhaps game day returns to Lincoln, Ohio State, kickoff time, TBA. I mean, it sets up.
Well, there's unfinished business and lots to accomplish before that. I've been at places where game day was, hey, you're going to get it in game four, or game five, and then stubbed our toe, and right. It doesn't happen. So those things, college game day, that kind of attention, that kind of exposure for our program and for the university, you can't put a price tag on it. And we'll take that in a minute, and we'll do it upright, but we're going to have to earn it. Mm-hmm. And yes, the Ohio State game would be ideal for that, but we're going to have to win some games. The Buckeyes are going to have to win some games, and that'll be super. We would welcome Corso and Herb Street and the boys with open arms.
Bill Moose, thanks for coming by.
Honey like me, contact Kathy and Gary at Heartland and Nebraska Windows for a free in-home estimate. Tell them Husker Nick said to give you the cool summer deal. Triple pain for the price of double. HeartlandOfNebraskaWindows.com.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Hail Varsity Radio today in Chicago. Big Ten Media Days, day one. Kudos to Elijah Herbal, crushing it. Was here at 7:30 this morning. Got after it. Salute to you, sir. Chris Schmidt, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Catch us over on sister station KFOR tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. They'll have me back, I'll take another appearance or two on Gregathan Hooks in Lincoln between 9 and 11. And, of course, Hail Varsity Radio puts the exclamation point in Chicago Friday 4 to 6. We have not gotten to John Reed, fantastic quarterback from Penn State. KJ Hill, wideout extraordinaire from Ohio State. Reggie Corbin's phenomenal, tremendous tailback that trains with Amir Abdullah. So they're all locked and loaded. With Nick Westbrook, big time wideout from Indiana, stopped by the show. Joe Bocci. And, Kenny Willekes, the defensive end of the year from Michigan State, were major, and they stopped by. So still folks to check out, and we'll try and get them to you tomorrow on Hail Varsity. Don't forget Northwestern and Purdue. Let's see if we get a Rondale Moore sighting. That would be awesome. Carter Coughlin, also of Minnesota, was great. And we'll see what time we have to. Oh yes, we had a fun chat about small town bars and burgers with a Wisconsin offensive lineman. How do you think that went? We we talked with Tyler Biadish. He's a good dude. I know. I just said a Wisconsin center offensive lineman's a good dude. As Nebraska fans scream about Wisconsin. Michigan State, man, big time program, great head coach in Mark D'Antonio. Had a chance to walk and talk with him before he went and did TV. So you know, is Michigan State ready to kind of rebound and get back to being Michigan State, the same Michigan State with that playoff appearance, the first for the Big Ten? Coach D'Antonio is not guaranteeing anything, but he sure as hell knows his defense is good. Coach D'Antonio with us here at Big Ten Media Days. We're walking and talking. Coach, another big-time event, and what are you happy with from the offseason gain-wise as you get ready for fall camp here shortly?
We got a lot of guys back, got 20 players back, starters, but most importantly to me has been the attitude of our players and the way we've gone about our business and the steps we've taken. You know, very unselfish group, great leadership, toughness, enthusiasm, knowledge of what they need to experience, and they got the experience of being in tough games, and where they win or lose, we've been in tough games and we've gone right down to the end.
You were in a lot of close ball games, Coach, before we let you go, and you came through on quite a few, and you had some shortcomings. We spoke with Joe Bocci earlier, and he's one of quite a few defensive guys that you got to be pretty excited about, not just leadership wise, but they're ready to take that next step.
Yeah, we are. You know, if you look at us collectively as a defense, we're probably one of the top three defenses in the country, not just in the conference, and not ready to anoint our guys, but in that capacity. But you know, if you look at statistically, we're probably top 10 defensively in the country in five different categories. So foundation is there. Could have brought some other defensive players here as well. So we have experience, and that should pay dividends.
Coach, take care. Thank you.
Thanks. So go Green.